Today's shiur is Masechta Kechulin Daf Kuf Ches, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Ches Amin Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Tipas Cholof Shnof Alachatipa. A drop of milk fell on a piece of meat. And as the Mefarshim framed the Mishnah, obviously this wasn't done deliberately. One is not to put milk on meat, even the smallest amount of milk. Everybody agrees. Furthermore, the Mefarshim say that our Mishnah, by saying Tipas Cholov, and we'll appreciate this more later in the Shir, is teaching us that as long as we have a combined kezias of the meat and the milk, even if it's just a drop of milk, according to Levi, that we'll learn later in our Shir, that's Bas B'Cholov Medaraisa, according to Rav, it's the Rabbana. Furthermore, the meat that it fell on has to be hot, because if the meat is not hot, then we don't have any bleah. How hot must the meat be? It certainly has to be yad seledes, and as we discussed previously, everybody agrees that if the meat is in a klirishin, that means the pot in which it was cooked, even if that pot is no longer on the fire, that's certainly going to be a situation of bleah. What the halacha is, if it's not a klirishin, is a question if it's the Nisa Daraisa, if it's that hat. Another question that the Paiskim discuss, and this is a very fundamental question in understanding the Mishnah. Those who are a little familiar with Hilchis Taruvis and Shulchan Aruch know that whenever you have a situation of Bliya, there are different levels of depth of absorption. Sometimes we have to be concerned that the Bliya goes throughout the entire item in which we had bliya. Sometimes this clay klipa, sometimes the k'day in the tilo. Our Mishnah is clearly indicating that when you have a drop of milk falling on meat, we assume that the bliya goes through the entire piece of meat. And the question is why do we say so? So I saw a number of explanations in the Mefarshim how to understand the Mishnah. Some say that milk is always considered a davar shumin, it's always considered a fatty item that's berleya completely into the meat. Others say that it's meat that's always considered a very davar shumin, and that's why it's nivla, becomes absorbed in an entire piece of meat. Others explain, given what we just said a moment ago, that since we're speaking in a situation where it's very hot, it's certainly klirishin, so that heat, that extreme heat, causes a blea in the entire piece of meat. Others explain because meat has cracks in it, and therefore, it's easy for it to be a deep penetration because of those cracks. And another pshat that I saw is because here we're speaking about, as we'll see, a cooked piece of meat with spices, and the spices cause a greater level of penetration. So again, our Mishnah is referring to a situation where a drop of milk fell on this piece of meat. Im yesh b'benois and tam b'osach chaticha, asur. If that milk had gives time into that piece of meat, that piece of milk is awesome. Again, there's a machloikis Rashi in Tosfos, how to understand the case of our Mishnah. Rashi says that the case of our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the meat that the milk fell on is somewhat submerged in the pot and somewhat above the pot, and the meat and the milk fell on the pot that's not submerged in the pot. Tosfos disagrees, because Tosfos says if the meat is still in the pot, then the piece of meat is not considered separate. And therefore, he explains that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where there's one piece of meat on top of all the other pieces of meat, laying flat, so to speak, and the milk fell into that piece of meat. Nois and tam. So it's a very fundamental machlokes of the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch, how we measure nois and tam. The Ramah says, and this is our minig, that we always need shishim. That we need 60 times meat versus the milk in order for the milk to be bottled, that it should not be nois and tam. Otherwise, we have to be concerned for nesinas tam. The Shulchan Aruch paskins based on the Rambam that we can rely on a kfela. We can rely on an expert who, and it has to be in this case a non-Jewish expert because it's Bas B'Cholov, who could tell us if there's a taste. And if he could tell us, there are a lot of conditions, he has to be an expert, he has to be Mesichel Fitumai, that he doesn't know why we're asking, And then we can rely on that. Nearest a kadeira. And here again, we have to make a very important point. The milk fell on the meat. And there's no shishim in the milk, in the meat, keneged the milk. So that piece of meat is certainly asur. Now, what you're not allowed to do is mix up that meat in the pot. Because as we're going to learn, by mixing the meat in the pot, you may be able to save the situation. But as we've discussed previously in our shiurim, it's ein mevatlin es l'chatchila. To create a situation where something which was asur will become now mutter is asur. We're referring to a situation where the person didn't know, or it happened by itself, so to speak. That's not, and now the Mishnah addresses that situation. So now what the Mishnah says is that if you mixed it immediately after, and this is the way the Aruch HaShulchan teaches us to learn the Mishnah, so before that piece of meat became asur, you immediately mixed up that piece of meat in the pot. So it's not, we don't view it as the piece of meat versus the drop of milk. That's the entire contents of the pot versus that drop of milk. But again, it's important to point out it happened immediately. Because if it didn't happen immediately, as we're going to learn in our Gemara, once that piece of meat becomes asur, then you need shishim against the piece of meat, not against the piece of drop. And the Aruch HaShulchan makes a very interesting point. So how soon does it have to happen that it should not be chanan, that should not be chaticha nasas nevela? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, hakol lufi enei ra'ois hamayra. The Pesach has to understand himself if it happened quick enough or not. You can't set a hard and fast rule. There's a concept of tam kicker. And it's important to understand this concept of tam kicker. What does tam kicker say? Tam kicker says the following. The classical example of tam kicker is basa b'chalav. Because if you have a situation where meat and milk are mixed up, so to say that the piece of meat, perhaps, or maybe use the word, not even use the word perhaps, has actual milk in it, we could understand that. But if you take the meat out of the milk, if you take the meat out of the milk, there's nothing left from the meat in the milk. Nothing tangible left from the meat in the milk. Why is the milk asur? Because we say that the tam that comes out of the milk, is considered like the meat itself. And that's why the milk is just as asur as the meat. Amar Abaya, tam v'loy b'masha b'alma d'araisa. So this concept of tam k'ikr, says Abaya, is a d'araisa. Dis al k'datach d'rabonon. For says Abaya, if one's going to suggest that it's only asur d'rabonon, we bas b'chalav my tam v'loy g'minin. Why don't we learn from bas b'chalav? As I just explained, Bas B'cholof clearly indicates that we follow the concept of tam kicker. Otherwise, why would that milk be asur after you remove the meat from this mixture? It must be because we say tam kicker. So we say tam kicker by Bas B'cholof. Why don't we learn from it to call it Torah Kula? Says Abaya, of course, tam kicker is asur b'cholof Torah Kula. Dis akadatach the Rabbanan. Says Abaya, if you're going to suggest that the concept of tam kicker in all other issues is in all other areas of halacha is only the rabbanon. The bas b'chalav my tam lagamina. Why don't we learn from bas b'chalav? The chiddushu. What are you going to say? We can't learn from bas b'chalav, says the Gemara, because bas b'chalav is a chiddush. And here we have a machloikus, Rashi and Tosfos. What is the chiddush of bas b'chalav? Rashi says the chiddush of bas b'chalav, and we've said this previously, is we start with a kosher piece of meat, we start with kosher milk. And yet the combination is asur. So bas b'chalav is a chiddush. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, maybe we can't learn from bas b'chalav. Tosfos disagrees. Because Tosfos says the fact that we start with two items that are mutter, and then the combination is asur, that's not novel. Every case of klayim is that. Where you start with two fruits, or you start with two vegetables, or you start with wool and linen, that they're both mutter when you combine them, that's asur. So Tosfos says, what is the Chiddush of Bas B'chalav? The Chiddush of Bas B'chalav, as we said in our introductory remarks to this perek, is that Bas B'chalav is only asur if you cook the meat and milk together. If you don't cook the meat and milk together, even though you combine them, it's not usur. That's the chiddush of basar b'cholof. Says the Gemara, e chiddushu. So if you're going to say, says Abaya, the tam kicker is unique to basar b'cholof, and we can't learn from basar b'cholof to call out Torah kula, because basar b'cholof is unique. So then maybe say basar b'cholof akav agav deleka noisin tam nami. It must be, therefore, says Abaya, the tam kicker is us in all areas, not just basar b'cholof, and therefore basar b'cholof is like everywhere else where we say tam kicker. Ask the Rishonim. We discussed the other day in the previous perek another source for tam kicker. What is the source for tam kicker? The Gemara spoke about the case of Zroya B'Sheila. What's the case of Zroya B'Sheila? Where a Nazir, when he finishes his Naziris, has to bring Kabbonis. And one of the Kabbonis he brings is an Ayel L'Shlamim. The Zroya, the foreleg of that Ayel, goes to Kahanim. Only Kahanim may eat it. The rest is eaten by the Yisraelim. Yet it's all cooked together. So the Gemara said that how's Mutter? Isn't there tam of the leg in the rest of the animal? The Gemara said it's either bottle in 60 or 100. So you see that tam counts. So we have another source for tam kicker. So Mepharshim said we can't use Roy B'Sheila as a source for two reasons. One, and something that we're going to discuss extensively in the Shia today, we discussed previously, there is a situation of min b'minai, meat with meat. But how do we know that we say tam kicker min b'sheina minai? You can't learn that from Zroya B'Sheila. That's one point. Another point that the Mepharshim say is what are we trying to accomplish at this point? At this point, we're trying to accomplish that tam ki'ikr is usr. That if you have tam of isr, it's as if you had the actual isr. Zroya B'Sheila teaches us that it's mutter. That you have the tam of the zroya in the meat, and it's still mutter. You want to learn isr, you can't learn that something is usr from a situation where it's mutter. So therefore the Gemara is seeking a new source. So Abaya's opinion is that tam ki'ikr by all isurim is isr deraisa. Amle Rava. So Rava says, it isn't a raya, because derech bishul asra taira. So what Rava is saying is that the fact that the Torah says that the only time bas b'cholov is asr is when it's cooked together is an indication that what does the Torah mean by saying that it has to be cooked together? Why does the Torah go out of the way in telling us the bas b'cholov is only us when you cooked it together? Because what does cooking accomplish? What cooking accomplishes is that there's a transference of tam. So the basic halacha of bas b'cholov, the basic rule of bas b'cholov, that bas b'cholov is only in a situation of bishul, is another way of saying tam kicker. And here we have a very big machlokas Rashi and Tosfos again. Rashi says, so the way to understand the opinion of Rava is that bas b'cholov is the only time we say tam kicker. All other places, tam kicker is only the Rabbonim. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that what Rava means to say is that bas b'cholov, because the Torah says by bas b'cholov, derech bishul asra Torah, it's clear that by bas b'cholov we know tam kicker, and we can't learn it from bas b'cholov to the rest of the Torah. But Tosfos holds that Rava will agree that we hold tam kicker b'kol ha-Torah kula, midaraisa. From where will we know it? Where we know the concept of the tam kicker, if we can't learn it from bas b'cholov, and we just said you can't learn it from Zroya B'Sheila. So Tosfos says we learn it from the basic halachas of kashering. What does kashering say? That if I had a pot, and I cooked in it something non-kosher, or I had a fleshiger pot and I cooked in it milchigs, or vice versa, we all know we have to kasher the pot. Why? Because all you have is just an absorption, a bliya. There's nothing tangible in the pot. Yet the halach is midaraisa. We learn from Kli Midyan that it has to be kasher. So we see that tam kicker, everybody must hold, says Tosfos, is deraisa. Just Rava says you can't learn it from bas b'cholov. Amarav. And as the Mepharshim explained, Rav is coming to explain what the Mishnah teaches us. In other words, the Mishnah said the word, tipas cholov shnafal ha-chaticha, im yesh b'nois n'tam b'os ha-chaticha. The Mishnah used the word asr. So Rav is coming to address what is asr. says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Kivin Shenosan Tam B'Chaticha, Chaticha Atzman Nasas Nevela, V'Asa, Saris Kol Chatichas Kulan, Nei Shemino. Which means as follows. It really, Rav is teaching us, and we had this Gemara previously in Daf Kof, Rav is teaching us two rules. One rule that Rav is teaching us is that Chaticha Nasas Nevela, that when the meat absorbs the milk. So let's think about this for a moment. You have a piece of meat that absorbs milk. So how do we look at this piece of meat with the milk in it? Do we look at it as a piece of meat that has in the milk? That's one way of looking at it. Or another way of looking at it is that no, a piece of milk, a piece of meat that has in the milk is a new entity. And it's a non-kosher piece of meat. The halacha looks at it like a piece of nevela. The halacha of it looks at it like a piece of non-kosher meat. Says Rav, a piece of meat with milk in it is not a piece of meat with milk. A piece of meat with milk is a new halachic status. It's a nevela. It's a non-kosher piece of meat. That's the first principle that we have to understand in Rav. Now there's another principle that Rav uses, a concept that we discussed previously. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that whenever we have min b'minoy is never bottled. What's the source for Rabbi Yehuda? Worthwhile reviewing. From the Avodah Yom Kippur. We know there's a machloikas in Masech, the Yuma. We know that a par had to be brought, the Kohen Gadol had to bring a par, and a sor had to be brought in Yom Kippur. And there's a machloikas in Masech, the Yuma, if the blood of the par and the sor were mixed together, or they were left separately. Rabbi Yonason holds they were mixed together, Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to that. But then let's go further. The Torah says that after that blood, the blood of the par and the blood of the sor were mixed together, let's read the words of the Torah. The Nasa Midam HaPar Midam HaSoir. The Torah says the dam is called Dam HaSoir. We know that the par is a much larger animal than the goat, the soir. So certainly the soir blood becomes bottled in the par blood. Yet the Torah HaGadosh still calls it Dam HaSoir. Doesn't become bottled. Why doesn't it become bottled? Because it's a min b'minay, blood with blood. So Rav says, back to our Mishnah, we started with this one piece of meat that got the tam of the milk in it. So it became a piece of nevela. And it's together in the same pat with all the other pieces of meat. So it's min b'minay loy bottle, and the entire pat of meat is treif, not kosher. Kivish anosin tam b'chaticha. Chaticha atzman nasas nevela. That piece of meat with the milk in it becomes nevela. And then all the other pieces of meat in the pat, v'oy, sorry, it's called a chatichas kulon, because we have a situation min b'minoy. Amale mazitra b'rei de ramari l'ravino michti. Rav k'man amale shmatze. Rav, that he just said this halacha, what is that psak based on? It's based on him subscribing to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, as we explained. Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'minoy loy batel. Ask the Gemara, lema pliga de rava. Should we suggest that Rav now is disagreeing with something that Rav also taught us on that kuf on the base? Dama Rav, kasava Rabbi Yehuda, kol shumin v'minoi v'davar acher, selek es minoi k'mish enoi, v'sh'enu minoi Rav v'mavatli. Rav says that even if Rabbi Yehuda holds, as we just explained, that min b'minoi is loy batel, let's say you have a situation where you have min b'minoi, and there's a third, and there's an enominoi there. So the halacha teaches us that we ignore the min v'minoi, and we look at just the min that's not kosher versus the enominoi. And if the enominoi is shishim versus the non-kosher minoi, we say bittel. And the mefarshim are very troubled with this. Why, if there's an enominoi here, do we disregard the minoi? So the simple pshat is that this whole din of min v'minoi is a chiddush. And to explain it better, because let's think about this, say the mefarshim. Let's think about this. B'kol ha'Torah kula, roiv is enough. Shishim is enough. Why over here is that not the case, that you can't rely on roiv and shishim? It's a special gzeiros hakasev. What is the gzeiros hakasev? As we explained, par, dama par, dama soil. But what is the circumstances of that gzeiros hakasev? There's only dama par v'dama sar. There's only min v'minoi. However, when it isn't an exact situation as the Torah describes, where you have only min v'minoi, then the rules of min v'minoi don't apply. That's one way of understanding it. Another way of understanding it, I saw this from Rabbi Yashiv, is a very nice way of understanding it. It's along the same lines. Let's try to understand this, he says. But min v'she'en v'minoi, we started the shiur today. Everybody knows the halacha is shishim. A drop of milk falls into your pot. Everybody knows, let's see if you have shishim. So why is min v'minoi different than min v'she'en v'minoi? The min v'minoi, we disregard the halacha of shishim. So he says the reason is, because when you have a situation of min v'minoi, it's considered that since they're both the same, it's like a dava choshev. And we've learned many times that a dava choshev doesn't become bottle. Says Rabbi Yashiv, when is that the case? When it's dava choshev alone. When there's another thing, it's not choshev alone, and therefore we disregard the situation of min v'minoi. Another explanation that I saw is that there's a concept in halacha of zev zegoyrim. When you have two different factors causing something to happen, and one is mutter and one is asr, and both are required to make this, so to speak, reaction, then we say it's mutter. So, say to Mefarshim that every situation of min v'minoi v'she'en v'minoi is a zev zegoyrim. And therefore, just like a zev zegoyrim, it's mutter here too, it's mutter. So here, ask the Gemara, let's think of our case of the Mishnah. You have the piece of meat that absorbed, the milk. You have indeed the other pieces of meat. But then you have the gravy and the soup in the pot. So why is everything in the pot also automatically, asked the Gemara? Why don't we just ignore all the other pieces of meat? And if the shishim in the gravy and in the soup versus the non-kosher piece of meat, the piece of meat that absorbed the milk, it should be mutter. The fact that Rav doesn't comment on this seems that Rav is disagreeing with Rava. Lame pliga the Rava. Dom Rava ksav Rabbi Yehuda kosher min v'mina v'dover acher. Salekis mina k'misha enoi. V'she'ena mina Rava lovam v'atloi. Answers the Gemara, no. Rav doesn't necessarily disagree with Rava. And indeed, says the Gemara, Amalei ida nafel b'roit of Raka. If the ingredients in the pot were this piece of meat that absorbed the milk, the other pieces of meat, and liquidy soup and gravy, indeed, Rav would agree with Rava. Hach b'mayiskinen, what is the case of our Mishnah? The nafel b'roit of Ava. It fell into a thick gravy, and thick gravy is considered like meat. So all you have here is min v'minoi. And as we said, one of the principles that Rav is working with is that min v'minoi doesn't become bottle. Ask the Gemara. What does Rav hold when he says, chaticha nasis levela? Or my kasover. I kasover efshel asoich de muta, chaticha my nasis levela. There's a number of ways of explaining this Gemara. We're going to explain the Gemara the following way. The Gemara now is teaching us chaticha nasas nevela, that we learned earlier. The Gemara is teaching us what is the basis why we say chaticha nasas nevela. So the Gemara is teaching us there's a concept of efshel asoichtoi. Let's think about our piece of meat that absorbed the drop of milk. Let's assume it was chemically possible to completely remove that milk from that piece of meat. Efshel asoichtoi. We can squeeze out that milk. What would be the halacha? So Rav Mar is saying, who says chaticha nasas nevela, also holds efshel asoichtoi is asur. And therefore, since we hold efshel asoichtoi is asur, so that piece of milk, even though I was that milk that I was able to extract from the meat, wouldn't change the piece of meat, because the piece of meat became asur once it absorbed the milk. So in other words, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, there are two ways of saying chaticha nasas nevela. One way of explaining chaticha nasas nevela is, as I said, using the words chaticha nasas nevela. And another way of saying chaticha nasas nevela is by saying efshel asoichtoi asr. Let's read it inside. If we're going to hold that if you could get the milk out, then the meat would be, then the meat reverts back to kosher. So then we can't understand that the meat is inherently non-kosher. We have to understand that the meat has in it some milk, which is a problem. But it's a resolvable problem. Ela kasavar. Ela, obviously, Rav holds. That's the way we are going to learn the Gemara. What's the problem with this approach? The Rishonim, the Ran, the Rajba, all the Rishonim already asked the question. So then what's the Gemara? The Gemara seems to be saying that there are two distinct concepts. There's a concept of Eshel Soichtoi, and there's a concept of Chaticha Nasus Nevela. The way we're learning it, it's really synonymous. So how do we understand the Gemara? So as I said, we're going to stick to the way we learned. That is indeed the same. But other Mefarshim, in order to try to resolve this difficulty with the Gemara, quote an opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim that we've already mentioned in our shiurim previously, that said the Rabbeinu Ephraim holds that the concept of Chaticha Nasus Nevela is only by Basa B'Cholof, nowhere else. So now we can understand the Gemara very well. The Gemara is saying, indeed, Chaticha Nasus Nevela. But Chaticha Nasus Nevela is limited to Basa B'Cholof. Efshel Soichtoi is not limited to Basa B'Cholof. Efshel Soichtoi applies by all Isurim. And that's how they explain the whole Mishnah. And that's how they'll explain the Gemara. Ditmar, and the Gemara indeed says, regarding this concept of Efshel Soichtoi, Rav, Rav Chanina, Rav Yochanan, the Emory, Efshel Soichtoi, Asur, Shmuel, Rav Shim, Rebbe, Rish Lakish, Tama, Efshel Soichtoi, Mutter. There's a Machlaikas Rishonim. If we hold Efshel Soichtoi, Mutter, what does that mean? Does that mean if indeed chemically one was successful and we started with this piece of meat that absorbed milk, and let's say one was able, without any question, to get all the milk out of the meat, would you be allowed to eat the meat? Some say yes, you would be allowed to eat the meat, at least Midaraisa. Everybody seems to agree that certainly Midarabonin you wouldn't be allowed to eat the meat. And there's some Paiskim that say that everywhere in Halacha would be Asur, only by Bas B'Cholov it's Mutter. Why? Going back to what we mentioned earlier. Because Basa B'Cholof represents a Chiddush, because we start with two Mutter Degar items, meat that's kosher, milk that's kosher, and therefore only by Basa B'Cholof would the meat now become Mutter. And others say just the opposite. That if we hold Efshel Soichtoi B'Chol HaTorah Kula, it would be Mutter, but Basa B'Cholof, which represents in general a Chiddush, remains Asur under all circumstances. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed Rav's opinion? V'savar Rav, does Rav indeed hold that Efshel Soichtoi is Asur? Vitma. Kazayis Basar Shenafla Toch Yerush Shel Cholov, or Kazayis a meat that fell into a pot of milk, Amar Rav, Basar Asur V'Cholov Mutter. The Basar is Asur and the Cholov is Mutter. Ask the Gemara. V'Sal Kedaitach. If we're going to hold Efshel Soichtoi, the basar is asur because it has tam milk. The cholov is mutter because we took the meat out. Ask the Gemara. Again, bringing together everything we've learned about Rav in today's shiur. V'salkadatak efshel soichtei asur. If we're going to say it is the opinion of Rav that efshel soichtei is asur, cholov amai mutter, cholov nevela hu. Let's think about it. We've been learning that efshel soichtei and chaticha nas nevela is one and the same. We've also been learning that Rav holds the min b'minoi is not bottle. So let's think about this case. You had a drop of milk in your meat. What does Hanan say? What does Chaticha Nas Nevela say? That milk is not any more milk. It's nevela. It's milk, but it's nevela. That's what Hanan says. That's what Efshel Soichtoi says. Now when you have this meat with this non-kosher meat and non-kosher milk, put in a pot of milk, so that milk that comes out of the piece of meat in the hot pot mixes up with the kosher milk. So it's min b'minoi, and b'minoi is loy bottle. So why does the Gemara say that Rav holds the cholov is mutter? It's a classical situation of min b'minoi. The Rav says min b'minoi is always usur, no matter what the ratio is. Answers the Gemara, lo'olam. The Gemara says, Lo'el k'sav Rav, Efshel Soichtoi Asam. Efshel Soichtoi is indeed Asam. V'shani Hasam, Dama Kro, Lo'savasha Gedi B'chalev Imoi. So the Gemara is learning now, for a moment only, Gedi Asr Tayr V'loi Cholov. Now when we speak about the Isser, Abbas B'cholov, it only refers to the meat, not to the milk. When you mix meat and milk, the Torah only meant the meat, not the milk. Why would I think so? What makes us say that? So there's really two approaches, the two approaches in the Achroinim, how to understand this Gemara. The Chasam Sofer's approach is that if the Torah meant that the meat and milk are both Aser, the Torah should have said, Gedi v'chalof, le'sevash le'yachtav. The fact that the Torah says le'sevash le'gedi v'chalof seems to indicate that only one of them is Aser, not the other. That's the Chasam Sofer's approach. The Tzlach's approach is somewhat different. He says it's very much connected to everything we've been learning in today's shiur. When you mix meat and milk, so the milk, the meat actually absorbs the milk into it. Now, even if we learned that you could undo that, but there was a moment where the milk was in the meat itself. But when the meat in the milk was always milk. The meat was sitting in the milk. It was cooking in the milk. But the milk and the meat always remained two separate entities. And therefore, the Torah, says the Gemara at this point, only meant that the meat should become Aser, not the milk. And that's why. It has nothing to do with Efshel HaSoichtai. It could be Chatech HaNasis Nevela. And it could be Efshel HaSoichtai is Aser. But the Torah, when it speaks about Bas B'cholov, only means the meat, not the milk. Gedi Aser Char V'loi Cholov. Ask the Gemara, is that possible? B'sover Rav, Gedi Aser Tayr V'loi Cholov. Is that Rav's opinion? V'etmar. Rav teaches us, chatzi zayis basav, chatzi zayis cholov. You start with a chatzi kazayis of meat, and you start with a chatzi kazayis of milk. Shabishlan zeh, you cook them together. Amar Rav, like al chilasai, you get malchus for eating this mixture. Vein like al basulai. Why don't you get malchus for the bishul? As the Gemara is going to discuss this more in a moment, it's because you only started with a chatzi kazayis. V'sal kadaitach. Gedi Aser Tayr V'loi Cholov. If we're going to say that the only thing that becomes Aser is the meat, not the milk, Achila Ma'iloika. Then you only have a Chatzi Kazayis of meat. And we know that ever to get Einish, yes, point out all the Rishonim. Of course it's Aser, because there's a rule, B'kol HaTayr Kul of Chatzi Shir Aser Tayr. But we know you don't get Malchus unless you ate the whole Shir. Why is there a whole Shir here? V'sakadayta Gedi Aser Tayr V'loi Cholov, Achila Ma'iloika, Chatzi Shir Hu. It's a situation of Chatzi Shir. So now we're back to where we started. If Rav says that the milk becomes as Aser as the meat, which we know is the Halacha, and we'll come back to the Gemara in a second, so now we have a problem. When the milk fell into the meat, and now comes out from the milk, meat into the milk, why is it not a situation, Min B'minoi, that that milk should be Aser? Yet Rav said in the Banim Amaran Aleph that milk is Mutter. So now, the one thing that we have to still resolve, sort of wrap up, is that the Gemara had a Havamina, that indeed only the meat is also not the milk. And now the Gemara sort of shifts. What about the Havamina? Where did that fall away from? So the Tzlach, following his approach, says that in the Havamina was that the meat absorbs the milk. The milk doesn't absorb the meat. The Maskana is that that's the Chiddush of Basa B'Cholov. That as soon as they're cooked together, it doesn't make a difference which has a higher level of absorption. Both are us. That's the Havamin and the Maskara. But the Chasam Sofer, the Mefarshim ask, the Chasam Sofer's approach in the Gemara is a little difficult. First, the Chasam Sofer said, what was Peshat in the Havamina? It was based on the wording of the Pasuk. So what happened to that wording of the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Lo Yisvashu Gedi B'Chalevi Moi. So Chasam Sofer explained the Gemara, the fact that the Torah said this wording is an indication that only the meat is also not the milk. And then the Gemara changes its mind. And what happened to the wording of the Pasuk? So the Chasam Sofer has to be defended. The way the Achronim defend the Chasam Sofer says it himself, is that the Maskana of the Gemara is that the reason the Torah used that those words is to teach us that only if it was a real Bishul, as we've been discussing, is there an Isfira Bishul Bas B'Cholov. Otherwise, there isn't. But it's not here to teach us that only the meat is also not the milk. So now we have our problem, as I said a second ago. The milk that went into the meat and that went out of the meat, why doesn't it prohibit all the milk, according to Rav? Answers the Gemara. Kusava Rav, Rav indeed holds that under normal circumstances, cholav nami also. That the milk that falls into the meat becomes also. V'hochamai skinet. However, what is the situation of Rav's case that he discusses, that the milk fell into the meat when it was in a boiling pot of meat. The mivlabola, since it's busy boiling, so it only absorbs mifllepalot and it doesn't expel. And Taisus sort of limits this. Taisus says, when the Gemara is saying that something that's boiling is not toilet, it's a very hard thing to understand. Because everybody that knows anything about kashering, what would be the halacha if you have a pot and you're cooking meat in your milchig pot? So we say because the pot is boiling, there's no bliya? Of course not. It has to boil in order to be a bliya. So what's the Gemara saying? That because it's boiling, there's no plate and nothing comes out. So Tarsus makes a very interesting distinction. He says, the meat that's in the pot and the actual tam of the meat certainly goes out while it's boiling. But here we're not talking about the meat going out. We're talking about the milk going out. Two things can happen with the milk. That it should go into the meat and then go out from the meat into the pot. That doesn't happen. And it only goes in and doesn't go out. So we're not talking about the meat going out, we're talking about the milk, which is an external entity. Since it's in a boiling pot, it only goes into the meat, but doesn't go out of the meat. The mivlabala, it gets absorbed. Mivlabala, it doesn't get expelled. Ask the Gemara, but let's think about it. Soif, yes, while it's boiling, so the Gemara said this fact, of a kinayach, when it stops boiling, and it's sitting in the hot pot, why don't we say that the milk now goes out from the meat into the rest of the milk? Kinayach hodapalat. Answered the Gemara, indeed. If that was what happened, that it stopped boiling, and you kept this piece of meat with this absorption of milk in the hot pot, you'd have a problem with the milk. Here you took it out before it stopped boiling, while it was still boiling. Shadav silk, you took it out while it's still boiling. So Gemara goes back to something that the Gemara mentioned a moment ago. Gufa. Chatzi zayis bosa v'chatzi zayis cholov shebishlon zem zeh. You have a chatzi zayis of each. Omer Rav, loika al chilosoi, vena loika al bishuloi. A few points to make. First of all, a physical thing. Practical thing. A kazayis is a measurement of a solid. Milk is a liquid. So how do you measure a kazayis of milk? So the Mefarshim will say, what you do is you take a kazayis, you put it into milk, and as much milk as is displaced, that's what milk is. But then the Mefarshim asked, the Mechas Chinuch discusses this, Rabbi Chanan discusses this, that we know, B'chala Taira Kula, when it comes to solid food, the shear is always kazayis, both for Isser and for Mitzvah, Matzah, etc. When it comes to liquids, the shear is always a revis. So why are we saying here, that according to Rav, the shear by the milk is a kazayis. So the Chorim have two different approaches. One approach is that that's not true. Really, the shear by liquids is also a kazayis. Only with a Torah, through Chazal, Torah specifically, the shear is a revius, is the shear a revius. But the real fallback position, even by liquids, is really kazayis. That's one approach I saw in the Achroinim. Another approach I saw in the Achroinim is that indeed, under normal circumstances, by meat, by solid, it's a kazayis, and by liquid, it's a revius. But here, it's hard to have a situation where we have meat and milk together, and one will have a shear of kazayis, and one will have a shear of revius. So here, in order for uniformity, the shear of the milk is also a kazayis. So again, gufa, chatzi zayis basav, chatzi zayis cholov, shebishlam zemzeh, they were cooked together. Amar Rav loik al chilosoi. You get malchus for eating this mixture. Vena loika b'shulai. Ask the Gemara Manashach. Let's try to understand. Imitztarfim, if they combine, and that's why you get malchus for eating this mixture, abishlanami leloki. Then you ought to get malchus for cooking them together. Because as we've been saying, the isser bos b'cholav is even isser bishul, that you may not cook them together. Imitztarfim, if you're going to say that they don't combine, so then achilanami leloki. Then you shouldn't get malchus for eating them. Answers the Gemara, Loilon loy mitzdarfi. Indeed, they are not mitzdarf. But what happened here was, you started with a very big pot that had a lot of kazaisim of milk and a lot of kazaisim of basar cooked together. And the Brice is teaching us two separate halachas. That if you cook a chatzizayis, and if you cook a chatzizayis bos and a chatzizayis cholov, so you're not chayiv. But if they already got combined, and now you eat a chatzi kazayis basar, and you had more than a kazayis basar, and more than a kazayis milk cooked together, and now you take out from this mixture a chatzi kazayis basar and a chatzi kazayis milk, you will be chayiv. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Rabbeinu Gershom has a whole different approach. He says, if it was one bishul, then you're chayiv. It was bishul acha bishul, you'll be potter. V'levi yomer, af loika al bishulai. The halach is, even if you cook a chatzik zayis bas and a chatzik zayis cholov, yechayiv. And as the older Rishonim point out, the mixture doesn't have to be an equal mixture. It could even be a situation, as I said when we learned in the Mishnah, that 99% is the milk and 1% is the meat. Or vice versa, it's asr. V'chein tani levi misnisen, k'shem shaloika al bisuloi, k'shem shaloika al chilosoi, when you have a mixture of meat and milk, if you have a kazayis of it, kach loika al bisuloi. When does the Torah say bishul is asur? That it's cooked, that others would eat it. What does that mean? So the way most Rishonim explain is that we know throughout halacha there's a concept of machal ben drusoy, that if something was cooked a third, it's considered cooked. And here we're saying that if you cooked meat and milk together, it's considered bishul, that you'll be chayiv for it, you'll be chayiv for bishul basa b'cholav. Others say, something I spoke about a moment ago, regarding the question of bishul acha bishul, and that perhaps bishul acha bishul is not osur by basa b'cholav, but the Paiskim say, and I said this previously, that the halachas of what's considered bishul for basa b'cholav is not necessarily the same as what's considered bishul for being chayiv for bishul on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, suggests the Gemara, this issue that we mentioned a moment ago about Efshel Soichtai is actually Machloikis Tanun. The Tanya. It says a Braisa. Tipas Chalav Shnofel Chaticha. The case of our Mishnah. A drop of milk fell on a piece of meat. So the Halacha is Kim Shnosim Tam B'Chaticha. As soon as it gives time into the Chaticha, Chaticha Atzma Nasis Nevela. Vaiseres Kol Chatichas Kulam Mnei Shemina. And then it asks all the other pieces of meat in that pot, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, because we have a situation of mim b'minay. The Chum Omrim, Acha Titan, Tam B'Roita B'Kipa B'Chatichas. Obviously, what is the opinion of the Chachamim? That they don't subscribe to mim b'minay like bottle, and therefore we look at everything in the pot. If the Shishim against it, fine. If not, not. Omer Rebbe. So Rebbe makes the following comment. Nirin Rabbi Yehuda B'Shloi Nir B'Shloi Kisa. I agree with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion when one didn't cover and stir the pot, but the Rechom Shnei V'Kisa. Ask the Gemara, what does Rabbi mean to say? Ma'aloi Nei V'Loi Kisa. What does Rabbi mean that there was a situation where it wasn't mixed and it wasn't covered? Ilay Ma'aloi Nei Kol V'Loi Kisa Klal. That you had this piece of meat on the top of the pot. We'll learn this way. It had milk absorbed into it, and then this piece of meat just sitting there. I didn't cover the pot, I didn't stir it. Like near like kisa klal, so then why would the rest of the pot even come into question? It's totally separate. Mifla bolo, the first piece of meat absorbed the milk. Mifla like pellet. So why would the Rabbanan say I should look at the rest of the contents in the pot? Elo, lo near betchila. He didn't mix it immediately, el besoif. He ultimately mixed it. Like kisa betchila, he didn't cover it immediately, el besoif. But ask the Gemara, Hamai, Habalava Apollot. If it says that it did go out, if I didn't mix it and I let it sit like that, so how did it go out? Says the Gemara, Kesavar, it must be, Efshalach Soichtai, Asr. Doesn't he hold that Efshalach Soichtai is Asr? And once it's Asr, so everything should become Asr. Mechlal, obviously, the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, the Kinir Metchilavat Soif, the kisa mitchil v'atzoif, that even if you mixed it from the beginning to the end, the Rabbanan will be lenient and Rabbi will be machmer. Amai, halibala klal. If you immediately mixed it, why is it osur? Says the Gemara, aim lainia yafa lafa, v'lekisa yafa yafa. The way to understand the machlokes of Rabbi and the Rabbanan is as follows. The person mixed it immediately. So if a person mixed it immediately, we shouldn't look at the milk versus this piece of meat. We should look at the milk versus everything. And that's indeed the opinion of Chachamim. Rebbe is machmer for a whole different reason. Rebbe is machmer because he's concerned that you didn't mix it well. And there, if you didn't mix it well, the only the piece of meat in which the milk fell into becomes also nothing else. And that's why Rebbe said that we're machmer.